I'm Lights Camera Jackson. This is a new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. I love Shaun the Sheep, and the show is back for season 6, premiering March 17th on Netflix, Adventures from Mossy Bottom. Joining me now is the series director, Tom Parkinson from the UK. Tom, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks very much, Jackson, for having me all the way from the US of K, we call it.
Shaun, Timmy, the whole gang, they've been in 2 feature films now. Farmageddon just debuted on Netflix last month, big hit for them. And now we've got the 6th season of Shaun the Sheep. What do you love most about these characters?
I don't know. I guess it's just they're like a little family now. We've got the farmer, we've got Bitzer, his long-serving dog, and Shaun and the flock. There's so many different characters in the... You know, it's a very warm world to be to spend time in. I love spending time with them all.
Oh yeah.
And obviously they appeal to lots of people because it's so popular around the world. But yeah, it's hard to put your finger on exactly why they're so popular. But I think it's something to do with just the warmth, the comedy, and the warmth that comes off of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got 20 new episodes in this 6th season, 20 new 7-minute stories. So first of all, what's the brainstorm session like, you and your team trying to come up with, all right, these are the stories we should do, these are the 20 that we should focus on?
Well, you know, this, like you said to begin with, we've got a few feature films out in the world now for Shaun, and there was a real conscious decision for this season to, you know, to sort of bridge the gap between the series that have come before and those feature films. So when, you know, when we decided on storylines for this season, we wanted to make them a bit bigger, you know, make them a little bit more dramatic, a bit more cinematic. And so, I think, you know, where before we've had a lot of episodes. I mean, they've all been extremely funny, but I think this series in particular, we wanted to sort of amp up the drama, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in seasons gone by, you'd have an incident, you know, someone would get stuck in a toilet, or someone would get a bucket stuck on their head, and you'd have, you know, quite a little vignettes of comedy based around small incidents. Well, this one, we wanted to, you know, tackle kind of bigger genre, bigger cinematic kind of ideas, and the thing is, we still only have like 6 minutes to tell those stories in, so it was quite a tall order trying yeah. to make these bigger stories, you know, land in 6 minutes. But certainly that was the brief. That was the kind of the idea was to kind of make these amp these up a bit, amp these episodes up a little bit.
I had the chance to screen 4 of the episodes in advance, and one of them that absolutely feels like a movie is the superhero episode, Super Sheep. And Shaun becomes a superhero, and there are a few other surprises in it. What were the creative inspirations overall for this episode?
Well, I mean, you know, when you see it, it's obvious that it's very much based in that comic book world, the kind of Marvel universe. We took a lot of... You know, we researched that a bit. I mean, we're all big fans of that stuff, and so, you know, coming out of Spider-Man, Spider-Verse, that sort of film, we kind of wanted to delve as deep as we could into there. It's got that nice 2D vibe, that little sequence in the middle, but I won't give too much away. But, yeah, there's a bit of, like, a few different techniques in there. But, yeah, just the fun of, like, it's kind of like nonsense superheroes always appeal to me, like the idea of just making up silly attributes for superheroes. Yeah, we tried to push that as far as we could, I suppose. Again, we had to sort of draw quite a direct line between jumping into that superhero genre and making a story out of it. It was, you know, in 6 minutes, it's quite a jump. So we literally just threw him in at the deep end and see what he'd do with a special ability, as it were, a superhero ability.
Oh yeah, yes. If you're a fan of superhero movies and comic books, you will love this episode. And how was it designing the different capes and outfits for the characters? Because they're pretty distinct and pretty fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, that episode specifically was directed by Steve Cox, who spent a lot of time designing those. You're referencing some of the characters at the end, but Can I give them away? Can I talk about those cats?
You can give as much as little, dance around, whatever you want to do.
Well, I guess you're waiting to see it because it's going to be out soon, so people just see it. But yeah, he had a lot of fun coming up with the most sort of silly and nonsense superhero characters he could think of. I think that in their own right, they could be little spin-off shows for themselves. I feel like they're little, you know, the superhero, I don't know, Sean could have his own spin-off superhero show off the back of that episode. I think Steve did such a great job with the designs and the ideas behind it. So, yeah, we were, certainly that's a good example of this new series.
Definitely. Maybe series 7 could be just a superhero season.
Yeah. Why not? Just all superheroes.
Yeah.
Fighting crime on the Mossy Bottom. Kind of builds itself nicely into it, because the pigs are always, obviously the villains every time anyway. they fitted in quite nicely as the arch-villains.
They do, yeah. They're one of the villains as well in the episode Hot to Trot, which kind of satirizes Strictly Come Dancing in the UK, here in the United States, Dancing with the Stars. I feel like just doing stop-motion animation in general is tough enough, but giving the characters dance moves, I feel like, would be really difficult. Was that challenging, sort of giving them proper dance moves for that episode?
Yeah, that was a step up as well. That was quite a tough one. I mean, it was do you know what the strength of that show, I think, was in the storyboarding, the animatics that we created. We were pretty specific with the timing and the dance routines in general. We were pretty spot on. I mean, the animators did an incredible job. They kind of knocked it out of the park with that one, I think. And the lighting and everything. It feels like it is one of those shows, isn't it? It's a real homage to kind of the big spectacular dance shows. But I think, a lot of work had to go into the sort of timing of that one and I think we pulled it off. And also, I like the diversity of the different music. You know, we go from, like, heavy metal to sort of more classical ballroom to, just Sean's kind of more modern take on things. It's quite a nice, that's a good example of sort of contemporary vibe in that episode.
And then in the Teddy Heist episode, it not only plays off of heist movies, but it's also partially a satire on Antiques Roadshow. And I think what you guys do with that is so smart. Are you just, you and your team, constantly watching shows, looking at movies, just looking for examples to incorporate into these episodes?
I think they're always just there, latent in the background. You know, we the shows you've mentioned are all, you grow up watching these shows, or they're always on Saturday night, sort of. I don't think we all pile into, watch TV to do the research. I think they're just there. And certainly in England, anyway, that Antiques Roadshow is just like such a sort of familiar place, that even the theme tune, it was hard not to actually just put the original theme tune to that show in there just to make the audience go, oh, yeah, we know where we are. But it's kind of like, I guess it's just the archetypes of TV, it's really easy to lampoon them, isn't it? It's kind of I'm glad that you mentioned that, actually, because that's obviously, it does translate across the Atlantic, that you guys have the same kind of genre shows, or the same vibe of show. I thought it was actually a very British show. It's quite nice that does translate that one.
Oh yeah, we love Antiques Roadshow here in America. It's quite a phenomenon. People, it was on the news the other day, some guy fell down after finding out his watch was worth, half a million American dollars. I mean, it's a phenomenon show, and the spin you put on it is really clever. Tom Parkinson is with me right now, the series director of the 6th season of Shaun the Sheep, March 17th on Netflix. One of the other ones I watched is your Halloween-themed episode called Pumpkin Peril. And the slugs, they come out and they try to ruin things. And there's a moment, and you see it in the teaser trailer that's online too, there's a moment where there's just a ton of slugs. How many slugs were animated?
To be honest, Jackson, they're actually snails.
Oh, snails, my pod. Yeah, the snails, yeah.
Same slimy little creature. They're snails. That was a treat, that one, because we wanted to go, I definitely wanted that one to be as kind of like a homage to those John Carpenter kind of zombie movies. Try and push it as far as we could. I know it's a kids' show, Sean, or at least it's like watched by lots of kids. And that one, I think, I really wanted it to be a little bit more scary than potentially it would have been in past series. I don't know. Yeah, so we went heavily into that kind of zombie genre with the music and the lighting, and it's kind of got that classic horror vibe to it. Yeah, I think it works. I think it works. I think kids can get in there.
It gives you that intensity just enough, but it's still really funny.
Yeah, I think there's enough comedy just to kind of, when you think things are getting too dark, maybe you suddenly realize, yeah, they're just snails at the end of the day. So I think it's, that saves it. I think that saves it from being a complete, like, you know, real dark night.
What you guys have been able to do with Shaun the Sheep is you make it appeal to kids and adults, and that's one of the brilliant things about it with the movies and with the show. Just brilliant.
Yeah, I think that's why it has endured, actually. I think it's, you know, in some territories, it's I'm told, anyway, that it's more popular with adults than kids. I think it's like that classic kind of, you know, silent comedy thing, you know. It's acted out really well. There's real subtle comedy, and there's proper, you know, falling over backwards laugh out loud comedy as well. It's a sort of layers to it that kids can dig it and adults can get into as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a beautiful, it's a great show to work on. This was my first season working on the show, and I loved it. It was fantastic.
I know you started at Aardman, and then you left and went to work on some other animation projects and came back. Were there sort of techniques you remember, things you remember from the first time at Aardman that you used and applied here on this season of Shaun?
Well, to be honest, no, because I've come from a more of a 2D background, to be honest. So, you know, I've worked in kids TV and proper cartoon stuff, and so although I originally, you know, was a storyboard artist and director at Aardman, I never did any stop frames. So this was my first, like, stop frame outing.
Wow.
And, yeah, that sounds insane because, like, as you do, but the fact was that the crew were just incredible. And, like, you know, I had episodes, the show had episode of directors working on each episode. So I felt like I was just in good hands and, you know, I was just trying to make good stories, as it were. And I think you know, the same principles apply when you're making 2D or stop frame or CG. You know, you're telling stories. So hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, I managed to fit in without completely, you know, I think my inexperience at stop frame wasn't really a problem. It was quite nice to come at it from a different angle, maybe. You know,
yeah.
I'm used to 2D comedy where you can get away with more gags per minute and, you know, throwaway gags and things. I tried to apply a bit more of that into this, I think.
And you pack a lot in. You pack a lot into just 6 minutes of it. Is it challenging sometimes to have to leave some material out because you're sort of limited to just 6 minutes?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was, for me, that was the big wrestle with this series, was trying to get these bigger storylines, whittle them down into something that made sense and that was entertaining and that was fun.
Mm.
You know, they did. I keep saying it. I feel a bit like we made 20 half-hour ideas. You know, like we made 20 short films in a way. Each of them being 6 minutes, we piled a lot in. There's a hell of a lot of stuff going on.
Oh yeah.
So that for me was a real challenge. Was getting the story to work over that time scale. These big dramatic storylines, you know, boil them down and get them into 6 minutes. That was the hard work.
And one of the other things you're able to do is incorporate 4 new prominent characters. What was the process like in deciding on these 4 characters? You've got a squirrel, you've got another farmer in play here, deciding on them and incorporating them into the episodes.
Well, we wanted to open the world up a little bit more, just offer something different this series, so we wanted to get some new characters in there. And I think rather than wholesale changes, you know, we this is, you'll see that they're kind of sprinkled in lightly. There's no, you know, we've got all the same cast as usual, and then we've put in a few episodes, these new characters. So we're kind of eking them in slowly. I'm imagining next series they'll have bigger plots and episodes based on those characters specifically. But yeah, like you mentioned, we've got a squirrel called Stash in there, who's kind of this hyperactive squirrel. You can hardly see her when she moves, and there's a really great episode that she's in called Squirreled Away.
Okay.
Yeah, so we use this sort of clever technique, part in camera, part CG, sort of time slice technique for her movement, which was really fun to watch. Yeah, and then there's a new farmer that's moved in next door to our farmer, you know, the original farmer.
Mm.
And he's kind of the, I don't know, the modern equivalent, I guess. He's got a social media site, and he's really popular, he's good-looking, he's really successful. He's kind of the opposite of our farmer. And I think, you know, it's kind of a nice new antagonist for the show. We'll probably bring him into it a bit more, I think, you know, when we do new episodes again.
So you're already thinking about a seventh series. You're already thinking about more episodes, next plans for Shaun the Sheep.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think this I mean, it's not for me to say, but I think the show can go on and on. I think there's so many possibilities. The films are proving that, you know. I think the, sort of it's a case of expansion. I sort of feel like you can do anything with him. It's a great, you know, it's a great character. It's a great series because you can push it into almost any format, I think. And it seems to be working in you know, in the way it's going. So why stop here?
Very true. Very true. What you've been able to do with Shaun the Sheep is fantastic, and these episodes are so fun, and especially the pumpkin peril one, because you have the situations with the snails, and you have that drama and that intensity, and then there's a final scene that's just really funny when you see the whole gang in front of the front door. I think it's so clever and so funny on Halloween night. Tom Parkinson, thank you for being on the LCJ Q&A today and for sharing all your insights on Shaun the Sheep. Everybody is so excited for this new season on Netflix, and best wishes with your continued adventures from Mossy Bottom.
Thank you, Jackson. Thank you very much.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thank you for listening to the LCJ Q&A podcast for the new season of Shaun the Sheep, March 17th on Netflix. And for more, head on over to lights-camera-jackson.com. See you next time.